From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Harrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Harrogate. A pulsating climax to the classic. Harrogate takes the lead and wins. Harrogate beats California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator. They're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a straight in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator in front. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the table. He has won the Preakness.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, coming to you once again from our Lexington, Kentucky studios, and welcoming all of you joining us throughout North America on Sirius XM Channel 93 and streaming worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net and, of course, on our terrestrial affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and all over the country. Happy to have you with us on this 21st day of January 2017, which means, by the way, we are only 105 days, 9 hours, 32 minutes, and 15 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. How about that, JT?
It's getting closer by the day. I'm
by the
shocked.
Second. Wait, now 7 seconds. 6 seconds.
Five,
we'll just sit
four,
here and do
three,
a countdown
two,
for 2 hours.
Off.
Right.
Yeah.
That'll be here before we know it. We have some.
It feels like we sit here and do a countdown like every day, every second.
We pretty much do.
Yeah.
You do talk about being here before we know it. I mean, 105 days out from the Derby seems like an eternity when you say it like that, but it's really not. And the road to the Kentucky Derby kind of winding through a soggy Louisiana and fairgrounds later today with the LeCompte Stakes. 12 horses entered in that field, but as you told me earlier, the weather not supposed to be very good down there in New Orleans today.
No, I didn't look at it this morning yet, but they were expecting a huge, huge storm. And, you know, we know New Orleans can't really handle rain that well. So we'll just have to see what happens, but weatherman is not the best handicapper sometimes, but
yeah,
the maps don't lie.
Yeah, look for the mutter.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. A lot of racing on the grass. Very nice card today. It's unfortunate. Fairgrounds has had just the worst luck this year between the quarantine and the weather. It's just unfortunate because they had a lot of nice horses there, a lot of top stables shipped down. For the first time in a long time, they have an excellent jockey colony, and it's just been one disaster after another.
Yeah, the herpes outbreak has, the quarantine situation there and horses not being able to get into fairgrounds or leave fairgrounds, that's really been a challenging thing for them to have to deal with.
Yeah, and it's affected other racetracks as well because a lot of horses ship in and out, and they can't ship in for the races, and then the horses that are there can't ship to other tracks where they could be competitive. So it's a very difficult thing for a lot of people in that area. Oaklawn was affected. Sam Houston was affected. So, it's tough.
Yeah, a lot of things that they are dealing with at the fairgrounds. And tip your hat to the horsemen there as they came out and supported these stakes races really, really well later today. I mentioned the 12 horses in the LeCompte. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Silver Bullet Day was a solid field, too. So there certainly are a lot of positives, despite all those negatives that they're dealing with the health issues and everything down there.
Yeah, no, it was really on the cusp of being one of their best meets in a long, long time. So hopefully they were saying maybe today they were going to start letting horses out.
Yeah.
So I don't know what transpired overnight, but that would be really cool. That would also help Gunrunner get to the Pegasus.
It would help Gunrunner get to the Pegasus, and by all accounts, that's going to happen if he can clear quarantine, get out of Louisiana, and make his way to Gulfstream Park. We are going to be there next Saturday with that exclusive radio coverage of the Pegasus World Cup. You're going to hear it worldwide with us here on HRN. It'll air right here on Sirius XM Channel 93 and be broadcast worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. And all that coverage kicking off 4 o'clock Eastern next Saturday. So it should be a one heck of a horse race. California Chrome, Arrowgate, and a field that, well, of long shots looking to upset the top two. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, it was interesting. You know, the odds line that the Wynn put out, it was totally unbalanced at 140%. Not a shocker. That's why Vegas always wins. But you know, they had 4 to 5 and even money on California Chrome and Arrogate. You know, well, that's 105. I think it's 105.26 right there. So that was 100%. So that meant the rest of the horses had absolutely zero chance, which, you know, maybe that's true. But, I mean, they're all going to be in the gate, and we know they don't run races on paper. So yep. The other horses had to have some kind of a chance.
Yeah.
Right? So the odds line is a little funky. I don't know what the odds are going to be, but the long shots should be huge. But the problem is anymore, and we see this in the Derby all the time, the long shots get overbet.
Yeah, right? A horse that should be 99-1,
right,
is going to be 45-1,
right,
or 30-1.
Because people
are not good value.
Are trying to, you know, make a big score. Or, I don't know if it's like sentimental bets or owners betting on their own horse or whatever. But
do you think they get overbet in this situation though? Because you've got the two top horses, arguably in the world, with Chrome and Arrowgate. Do you think that the rest of the horses take that much money?
Well, I wouldn't think so. I mean, it's just irrational.
Yeah.
The whole thing is irrational. I mean, you when you're at the Derby, and I granted there's more horses, there's twice as many, right? But that should make it even more glaring.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and it goes the other way. I mean, you see horses that should be easily 40-50-1 at the Derby that are like 23, 24, 25. You know, and I don't know how that translates into the exotic pools, if it's the same percentage or not. But it's kind of crazy. I mean, probably at the Derby, there's people that are betting numbers, people that are betting names, all that stuff. You know, it's not like your regular gamblers at the Derby. It's a much bigger pool. I think this is the
kind of much more diverse pool, because with the Derby, it attracts people from, well, they're just kind of casual sports fans that are just tuning in to watch it and make a little
bucket
bet on
listers,
it.
You know, and,
yeah,
and you got to have a lot of money to go, so that the average person at the Derby probably, you know, is betting like $20 on a horse. They're not betting two. So you've got that factor. I think this race is going to be more like the Breeders' Cup, where the betting's more sophisticated than it usually would be.
I would agree.
And it's going to be, you know, more of the hardened horse racing fan, you know, with money, because it's not cheap to go to this event.
I think that's a great analogy. I think comparing it to the Kentucky Derby, you can't, because there's only one Kentucky Derby. I think it is very much more like a Breeders' Cup event. And I've always said the Breeders' Cup is much more of an industry event than it is, say, that event that transcends the sport like the Derby does, because you don't get necessarily casual sports fans tuning into the Breeders' Cup, whereas you do for the Kentucky Derby.
Right. You'll get more of a casual racing fan going, you know, like everybody that plays a major part in the industry goes to the Breeders' Cup.
Right.
But then the rest of the space is taken up by fans and other owners that aren't participating but love the game.
Yep.
And that, and then you have that little group of people that the Breeders' Cup is on their bucket list, and they save up their money and spend it on a trip to the Breeders' Cup, or if they live close to the track where it is, they take advantage of that and go to the races that day. So you don't have nearly the and those people still, even though they're not, you know, big players in our sport or whatever, but that most of them still have an interest in racing.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Blow's not getting off the couch to go to the Breeders' Cup,
because
it's huge crowd. It's, you know, can be kind of a hassle and whatever. And so that they're not going to pick that day to go to the races.
Right.
They're going to pick some Saturday when they got nothing to do. But, you know, this race, I think, is going to be a lot like the Breeders' Cup.
Well, that all takes place next Saturday, and California Chrome had his final work for the Pegasus World Cup this morning. He went to the track just after 7:30 Eastern time, worked really, really well, a very swift workout from all accounts, 58 and change, the final time for his 5-furlong workout. We're going to be joined after this first commercial break by trainer Alan Sherman, who will fill us in on that workout. He'll share his thoughts and he'll look ahead to the Pegasus with California Chrome. That comes up in just about 4 or 5 minutes from right now. Adrian Wallace will be with us in the first half of the show, right around 8:37 Eastern time. Adrian with Coolmore and Ashford Stud in Versailles. He's going to join us for our Stallion Spotlight segment this week and preview the Coolmore Stallions. Then in hour number two, we're going to kind of welcome in a couple of different guests that we don't often have on the program, and really looking forward to the second half of the show, because Janine Edwards is going to be with us at 9:25 Eastern time. And Janine, of course, with ESPN, she is also going to be hosting the Eclipse Awards later on tonight at Gulfstream Park. So looking forward to talking Eclipse Awards with Janine at 9:25 Eastern. And before we get to Janine, at 9:00 Eastern time, Tim Rooney will be with us. And Tim Rooney, yeah, the very same Rooney family that is involved with owning the Pittsburgh Steelers, who play in tomorrow's AFC Championship game. Tim Rooney is the president and CEO of Yonkers Raceway, and Yonkers was purchased by his father, Art Rooney Sr., who was also the founder of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And since that day that they purchased Yonkers, Tim has been involved with running that racetrack. So we'll talk to Tim about some Steeler stuff. We'll talk to him about some racing things, some cool correlations as to the Rooney family and horse racing as well. So we'll tell you that story coming up at 9:00 Eastern.
Yeah, that's cool. And it plays into our Legends of the Turf segment as well.
It does. And that comes your way shortly here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll bring you that Legends of the Turf at 8:30 Eastern time. We'll get to our first break. We'll come back. Alan Sherman kicks it off and he'll talk about California Chrome. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Stallion Ghost Sapper, the sire of 7 Graded Stakes winners in 2016, including Grade 1 winners Shaman Ghost and Green Zapper, plus the exciting undefeated 2-year-old McCracken.
But McCracken is bearing down on the outside. Here's McCracken in wild shot with a 16th to go, and McCracken grabs the lead 100 yards out, and he does it again. McCracken wins the Kentucky Jockey Club from off the pace by a length.
McCracken stamped himself a major Kentucky Derby contender with another impressive victory at Churchill Downs. Ghost Sapper has produced 9 Grade 1 winners, 6 millionaires, and 3 champions, so it's easy to see why his yearlings have been so well received in 2016, selling for up to $825,000. Ghost Sapper was the number 4 Keeneland September Book 1 sire, with yearlings averaging $417,000. Ghost Sapper, standing at Adina Springs. Learn more by visiting adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what would be a common misunderstanding between an insured and the insurance company?
Mike, one issue is a policy condition that requires notification when an insured animal becomes sick or injured.
Do you mean in life-threatening situations?
Not just then, but if a veterinarian is called in for treatment other than routine care. Take, for example, if a yearling colt gets his foreleg caught in a fence and tears the skin. The coat is stitched up and everything seems fine, but later the coat develops a systemic infection. Then there is a serious situation that the company knows nothing about.
So the company needs to know, even if it's not a life-threatening situation.
That's right. It's a policy condition. The company has a stake in the health of the animal because of the existing insurance policy. The company might want to have its own vet examine the horse. In most cases, though, just a call or email is all that is needed.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and
and more, contact Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit FlairStrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent, protect, perform.
New to Cool More America for 2017, Air Force Blue. A force to be reckoned with. A champion two-year-old by Warfront.
And Air Force Blue now comes bounding through. Two, three lengths clear. A really good horse.
A three-time Group 1 winner, armed with a devastating turn of foot. He's ready to take flight as a sire. It's time to get on board. Coolmore America, home of champions.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Don't miss the 5th Annual Houston Racing Festival from Sam Houston Race Park with over $800,000 in purses Sunday, January 29th. The Houston Racing Festival will be anchored by the $400,000 Grade 3 Houston Ladies Classic and will feature four additional stakes races, including the $250,000 Grade 3 Connolly Turf Cup, the Frontier Utilities Turf Sprint, and the Spa City Stakes, also the Houston Distaff. First post will be 12 p.m. Central. Take advantage of our low 12% takeout at Sam Houston Race Park.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They come to the top of the lane now, and it's Better Bet on the inside trying to hang on. California Chrome gets the lead. Moving Desert Green, one from the outside. Solid Wager, grandstand side. Will he be awesome? Gangnam Guy wide open. Coming for home, California Chrome. California Chrome's opening up on them. And California Chrome, powerful the last 16th. California Chrome wins impressively. Moving Desert second, Gangnam Guy coming on third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. California Chrome, we told you, going to the post next Saturday at Gulfstream Park in that $12 million Pegasus World Cup. Our coverage of that race beginning 4 o'clock Eastern time next Saturday afternoon. This afternoon at Gulfstream, we're going to bring you coverage of the Sunshine Millions. That begins at 5 o'clock Eastern. You'll want to join Anthony Stabile and retired jockey Christina McManigal as they bring you that coverage later today, 5 o'clock Eastern, all presented by our friends at Adena Springs, and that coverage available exclusively at horseracingradio.net. Well, you heard that call from Trevor Denman coming out of the commercial break, and that call, California Chrome winning the graduation stakes at Del Mar back on July 31st of 2013. It was the first of 14 stakes victories for California Chrome. He has now gone on to win more than $14.5 million in his career. He is the all-time leading thoroughbred in that category in the history of racing. And JT, who would have thought when California Chrome crossed the line in the graduation stakes, we'd be talking about this horse in this position coming into this race next Saturday?
Yeah, nobody.
Nobody. California bred, had a pedigree. He can't go a mile and a quarter in the Kentucky Derby.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean,
well, that's what everybody was saying.
Yeah, you know, people talk a lot of BS, you know, but he's a fantastic horse. He's so beautiful, so powerful, fantastic stride. And the Sherman boys have just done a great job with him.
We tweeted out a video from NTRA of California Chrome working this morning at Gulfstream Park, his final work before the Pegasus World Cup. and Alan Sherman joins us now. Alan, looks like all systems go, my friend.
Good morning, guys.
Happy to have you on board. Look good.
Oh, man, he worked lights out this morning. I was really happy with him. You know, visually, he looked like he went in 101. You look at the clock, he went 58-4. I couldn't ask him to be doing any better.
That's one of the things about him that's so amazing. He looks like he's walking around the racetrack. I mean, he literally looks like he's galloping when he's working, and then you see the time, and you go, wow. I mean, he's amazing.
I know.
It's really amazing.
He is. And, you know, today was his last work ever, so it's like, it was kind of a bittersweet thing, you know. It's all coming to an end soon, but it sure was a hell of a ride.
How difficult is that to say goodbye to a horse that's been this good, Alan?
Well, I've never had one this good, but it hurts. But, you know, as good as, we've had a lot of horses over the years, but this one hurts a little bit when you see him leave the barn.
Yeah, it's a bittersweet thing, and it's always tough to say goodbye to the big horse. You're fortunate in a way that, like, all of a sudden, you got a new big horse in Dortmund. That's pretty cool. I mean, you're losing one, you got a new one. How cool is that?
Yeah, that is great. You know, Colleen Shaw, he's got some really nice horses. He's a super nice guy, and I'm looking forward to a long relationship with him and having some good horses.
Alan, you know, you think about that career that California Chrome has had, and I went through some of those numbers as I was introducing you, and you just mentioned that you couldn't be more pleased with the way that he's doing and coming into the World Cup next week. Is it safe to say, and I don't even know if I should make this statement, that maybe he's doing better now than he ever has at any point in his career?
You know what? I think that is safe to say, actually. He just keeps getting bigger and stronger and better. It's amazing. It really is. I've never been around a horse that just keeps getting better like him. He's an exceptional horse, and I'm really looking forward to running him this weekend. I think he's going to put on a good show.
Well, it was really smart to get him down there early and acclimated to the weather. It seems like he absolutely loves Gulfstream Park, which has got to make you feel good as well. So things are coming up super for you.
Yeah, I couldn't ask for things to be going any better. He loves it down here. He seems to like the track. And, he's an amazing horse. He is. You know, I've never seen him on a track that he didn't like. I don't know if he just loves to run so much. It doesn't really matter what kind of track he's on, whether he likes one more than the other. But he sure does seem to like this track.
Well, for racing fans, Alan, it doesn't get any better than what we're going to see next Saturday. You have a $12 million race, $7 million to the winner. You have a rematch with the horse that beat California Chrome last time in the Breeders' Cup Classic when they met, and that's Arrowgate. What things do you see as being different or maybe being an advantage to California Chrome this time around as opposed to in the Breeders' Cup Classic?
Well, I think the short stretch is going to be to our advantage. You know, I think, and he runs around the turn so well. If Victor can get away from him and open up around the turn, I see it's going to be hard for Arrogant to run him down in this short stretch.
They're going to draw post positions on Monday as opposed to doing it the traditional Wednesday before a Saturday race. So they're going to do that Monday. A field of 12 at Gulfstream going a mile and an eighth. Is there any specific post position that you would say, we don't want that one?
Well, I don't think you want to be outside the eight. You know, anything on the inside of the eight hole, I think you're okay. But if you get the eight, you know, and out, you're at a disadvantage going a mile and an eighth on this track. Just because it's such a short run into that first turn. And I've got a feeling that there's people are going to be sending, you know, there's some horses that probably aren't grade one horses in the race. And I think, that, you know, they're going to say, well, let's just go and see what happens. And I think that's going to be our main concern is just get a good trip is all I want, you know, and post position is going to be a big part of that. And I think these jocks on some of these other horses are going to be sending out of there. And so hopefully we get a good position going into the turn, and I think everything else will work out for itself, you know.
All right, so let's say, for example, then, Alan, that he does happen to get post position number 12, and he's on the far outside. Does that change your strategy or your approach to this race in any way?
Well, you know, he breaks so fast. You gotta, you know, you just gotta let him run out of there, regardless of what post we get. I hope we don't get the outside, you know, because then you might have to use him up a little bit more than you want to, you know, going into that turn. But, you know, I think if he can get a good post and he breaks so good all the time, that we should be right there. You know, if he's not on the lead, he'll be close to it.
These post position discussions always crack me up because, you know, when he was drawing the rail there, he had that little streak of rail draws. And, oh, maybe he doesn't like running inside. Maybe the rail post position is going to get him beat. And now it's like, oh, if he gets the 12 hole, you know,
right?
Are you kidding me? This horse is really good. I mean, he's not just your average good horse. He's a great horse. Let's face the facts. Let's use the G word here. I mean, he could break behind the gate and beat most of those horses. Now, I realize Arrogate's, you know, very, very, very tough. He's super talented, and he's beat him. You know, and I think Arrogate's a bigger concern than what gate California Chrome breaks out of. I think he could win from any place, including behind the gate. So, you know, I think you should continue to sleep well, Alan. That's my advice.
Yeah. I sleep pretty good here in South Florida. It's pretty nice.
Alan Sherman joining us, talking about California Chrome, who goes postward in that Pegasus World Cup next Saturday. Once again, our coverage of that race kicking off 4 o'clock Eastern time. We will also be there live with this program, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, a special World Cup edition of the program live from Gulfstream next Saturday. So make sure you circle that on your calendar. Alan, I played that clip of the graduation stakes coming out of the commercial break. When he won that race back in 2013, his first stakes victory, could you ever even fathom that he would end up in this position where he is going into his final race on Saturday?
No, I mean, you always hope, you know, that's why you go and buy all the young horses every year. And, you know, you're always looking for that big horse, you know, but obviously, you know, he's once in a lifetime horse. So he's just been such a pleasure to be around and everything. He's amazing animal and definitely going to be missed when he leaves.
Do you have a favorite California Chrome moment?
I'd have to say when he won the Derby. You know, growing up in this business, you always dream about winning that race. And when he did it, it was, you know, I think I cried for an hour after that race. It was just so emotional and just so happy for my dad and everyone involved. It was just, it's so fun. That race was unbelievable. And I'd have to say the second one was probably the Dubai World Cup, you know, when they play the national anthem in a different country. And, you know, the whole grandstand was cheering him on, and that was really fun as well.
He's Alan Sherman, and he is the man alongside California Chrome. His dad, Art, has been there every step of the way as well, and they make a great team, and they're hoping for one more big performance coming up in his final career start, which is next Saturday in that $12 million Pegasus World Cup. Alan, all the best over the next week, my friend. Keep the horse happy, and we will look forward to seeing you when we get down there later this week.
You got it, guys. We'll see you next week.
All right. Alan Sherman here on HRN, like all of our guests, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. How confident is Alan Sherman right now?
I don't think he's not ever.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you have a horse like California Chrome, how can you not be confident?
Yeah, but I mean, he's positive going into every race, and it's not like, you know, like we say about Dale Romans, he never met an entrant he didn't like, you know. I mean, it's a whole different kind of thing, but
right.
he's running a horse that's super talented. But the horse, I think, you know, that horse is an amazing animal. I mean, you just watch him. He does things other horses don't do, and he's been great down in Florida. I mean, he's really looked good in all of his works, and so there's no reason not to be confident. And I'm glad I got him to laugh about the post position thing because, you know, that really – I mean, that's splitting hairs there.
Right, right. Especially when you have a horse like California Chrome or even a horse like Arrogate who is going to come to challenge him next Saturday. That should be one heck of a showdown, and we are happy and proud and privileged to bring it your way here exclusively on Horse Racing Radio Network. If you missed the beginning of that interview, California Chrome, 5 furlongs in his final career work this morning, went 5 furlongs, 58.81, according to Mike Welsh of the Daily Racing Form, and Alan confirmed that he was 58 and change. So a really powerful workout from the world's all-time leading money earner in thoroughbred racing, California Chrome. It is time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf segment. When we come back, we're going to be joined for our Stallion Spotlight segment by Adrian Wallace from Coolmore. He'll talk about the Coolmore Ashford Stallions. So stay with us, but your Lexus Legends of the Turf is brought to you every Saturday by the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty right here in Lexington, Kentucky.
Thoroughbred racing enthusiast Peter Millen tweeted this week that Art Rooney Sr., founder of the Pittsburgh Steelers, was able to afford the $2,500 NFL franchise fee only after hitting a long shot wager at Saratoga Racecourse in 1933. Millen then tweeted a Foolish Pleasure blog post with more information. Evidently, the fifth oldest NFL franchise, then called the Pittsburgh Pirates, may have never existed or survived without horse racing. Son Art Rooney Jr. said his father was born to play the horses. In 1936, the elder Rooney went on a huge winning streak at the old Empire City racetrack and then on to Saratoga, reportedly winning up to $380,000. At least enough that the spa track officials offered him a Brinks truck to take the money back to New York City. Keep in mind, this was in an era when families were living on $20 a week. Time magazine reported a $100,000 Rooney score at Aqueduct in 1937, and many say it was more. With his racetrack winnings, Rooney kept his financially struggling football franchise afloat. The Pirates never had a winning season, and it wasn't until 1974 when the now Steelers won their first championship. It was noted in a blog written by sports historian Bob Ruck, the franchise's early difficulties may have resulted from Rooney's love of horse racing. Although I understood the football business as well as anybody in the league, Rooney once said, I didn't pay attention to the business that some of the owners gave it. I was out of town a great deal of the time, at racetracks. With me, the racetrack was a big business, and generally, I'd have a head coach who was like me. He'd like the races. Rooney also had a great sense of humor and a unique perspective on life. A story is often told that a Catholic priest came to Rooney asking him for money to start an orphanage. Rooney took the rubber band off his massive bankroll and handed 10 grand to the priest, who asked, "Are these ill-gotten gains?" "Why no, Father," Rooney said. "I won that money at the racetrack." Art Rooney Sr., founder of the Pittsburgh Steelers, was certainly a legend of the turf.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus Store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus Store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus Store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor.
a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Don't miss the 5th Annual Houston Racing Festival from Sam Houston Race Park with over $800,000 in purses Sunday, January 29th. The Houston Racing Festival will be anchored by the $400,000 Grade 3 Houston Ladies Classic and will feature four additional stakes races, including the $250,000 Grade 3 Connolly Turf Cup, the Frontier Utilities Turf Sprint, and the Spa City Stakes, also the Houston Distaff. First post will be 12 p.m. Central. Take advantage of our low 12% takeout at Sam Houston Race Park.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power. Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a five-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coase in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a fire speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning two-year-old, Anchor Down is a half-brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Pennant, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum on HRRN. And if you missed any portion of the show so far, you can head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast at your leisure. Fun interview with trainer Alan Sherman talking about California Chrome in that previous segment and looking forward to the upcoming Stallion Spotlight segment as well. But Jude, before we get to that, I want to just kind of tip my cap to you. Well done with that piece on the Steelers and the involvement with thoroughbred racing and their interest in horse racing. They're still involved in the sport on some levels. Tim Rooney is going to join us coming up in just a little bit. Tim, of course, the man who is the president and CEO of Yonkers Raceway, and his brother is also involved with one of the dog tracks down in Florida as well. So they are intimately involved with racing. You did a beautiful job putting that piece together, so well done.
Oh, thanks. It was kind of fun to do. There was a tweet going around, and I read all the parts of it, and I said we should do this for Legends of the Turf, because what a great bunch of stories there, and there's countless more. I mean, you know, we are under time restraints, but you could turn Art Rooney Sr.'s life into a 2-hour feature film. There's no question about it. The guy has a fantastic history, and it'll be great to talk to Tim about him. Also want to give a shout out to Bill Mentes, who's in Barbados because of us, because of our coverage and sponsorship from the Barbados tourism. And he's listening to us on our website and having a good time down there with his family. So shout out to him. Hope you have good luck at Garrison Savannah. I sent him my speed figures, so he should have a leg up on the crowd down there.
What's he doing listening to us? Shouldn't he be down at the beach watching the horses
he's
train?
Probably out on his patio having some coffee, maybe with a little rum in it if he's got any handy.
Yeah.
And he's handicapping for the day. That's what you do when you're in Barbados. You know that.
Yeah, good for him. Well done, Bill. We appreciate it. All right, it is time now for your Stallion Spotlight segment, and a very interesting one coming up this week.
Yes, Shanghai Bobby coming back. Shanghai Bobby came back remarkably. And Shanghai Bobby, a tenacious all-heart winner.
They're coming out to the finish. Stay thirsty. Rattlesnake Ridge chasing him home. But the Travers goes to Stay Thirsty.
It's Air Force Blue, and he is clearing away. Air Force Blue in a comprehensive group to take the US Stakes. But this is an overwhelming performance by Uncle Bo, the son of Indian Charlie. John Velasquez just got to point him in the right direction, takes a look back. Uncle Bo, superb in the juvenile.
It's Vancouver with his head in front from English, and Vancouver, the favourite, roars away for Tommy Berry. Vancouver wins the slipper from English.
And it's Competitive Edge with the lead, and a furlong to the finish. Competitive Edge in front by three lengths now. I Spent It in second, and Requite is third. Competitive Edge makes it two for two here at the Spa.
Looking lucky, first two, Tower Cortado is next. On the far outside there is Iwana Twist, looking to pull a big upset. And also Jackson Ben closing the rut. Let's see in between horses. Jackson Ben looking at lucky, first dude, and Iwana Twist from the outside. You're looking at lucky! You're looking at lucky in the Preakness to win it by a half leg.
With 1/8 of a mile to go, American Pharoah's got a two-leg lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole.
Boy, I love those opens to these segments, and a great trip down memory lane looking at the Coolmore America Stallions. They're at Ashford Stud out in Versailles, and we're joined now by Adrian Wallace from Coolmore to take a look at those stallions. And Adrian, boy, some memorable moments in those race calls, weren't there?
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Jude. I mean, that what a gives you chills and makes your the hair on the back of your neck stand up on end listening to American Pharoah coming down the stretch.
Yeah, he needs no formal introduction, but he is now standing stud at Coolmore, and from all reports, off to a tremendous beginning with some of his babies.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously very early days, but the quality of mares that he bred in his first book, the likes of which we've never really seen before, he bred 47, or he got in full 47 Group 1 winning or producing mares. So it's early days, the majority of which have yet to fold. But we went out to Hillendale yesterday and saw a very nice filly out of the mare Global Gold, who was the dam of Chilean champion Il Campione, who actually came up here, was bought to come up here, and then he got hurt. But a very nice filly. She was 137 pounds when she was born out at Hillendale, and the guys at Hillendale seemed very, very happy with her. We have another foal here, a filly foal, on Ashford out of Untouched Talent, making her a sister to Bodemeister. So that's a very nice filly that we're very happy with as well. So he certainly bred some high quality mares. Hopefully it's going to be an exciting year.
I know he captured the hearts of the American racing public and even just general sports fans when he won that Triple Crown. I know you get great response, Adrian, to all your stallions, and there's so many top name horses standing at Coolmore, but when you bring in a Triple Crown winner and the first in so many years, was there a different response from the industry as well on the breeding side of things to a horse like this?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, irrespective of where he had stood, I think the whole industry wanted to see, the fan base wanted to see a Triple Crown winner. I think, as I say, irrespective of where he stood, it was going to bring racing back to the front pages again. It was going to make people stand up and take notice about the sport. And, we've seen a response to this horse, not just from breeders, but from the public at large, that we knew it was going to be a massive reception for the horse, but we never anticipated that we'd have 10,000 people through the gates through horse country just to see him in the first year. And we'll probably get another 10,000 this year. I mean, when there were tickets for the weekly tours go on sale, they're sold 2 or 3 months in advance. They sell out within 24 hours, 25 people, 5 days a week, coming at 2:30 or 3 o'clock every week, and they get to see him. So, I mean, and the great thing about the horse is that he's very amenable. He's so calm. He's got, you know, we sort of tend to talk about him like as if he were a person, but he sort of takes everything in his stride. He doesn't mind having his photo taken. You know, people come and ooh and awe over him, and I think it's great. You know what I mean? He's a great ambassador for the sport.
How many social secretaries does he have? I mean, when you look at your Twitter feed, it's like everybody, anybody who's anybody, and then people who are basically, you know, just fans. You see pictures of him all the time, and I'm thinking to myself, when does this horse have time to breed? He's like always on display. Does he have a crew of people that set all that stuff up?
Well, the tourism part of it is run through Horse Country. So visithorsecountry.com is the website that you can, you know, fans can come and see the horse. Obviously, breeders come to see the horse when, you know, by appointment, but the fans can book their tickets online through Visit Horse Country. So that part of it is organized, you know, off-site. But then the actual sort of hands-on part of it, the taking the people down to see him, that's done by us here. We took on one extra person to sort of handle that, but you know she does other jobs as well, so it's not just American Pharoah, but it is a fair workload. Yeah,
talking with Adrian Wallace from Coolmore's Ashford Stud in Versailles, Kentucky, talking about Triple Crown winner American Pharoah. But Adrian, he is not the only newcomer to the stallion roster this year.
He's not. No, we've got a very exciting young son of Warfront called Air Force Blue, who was bred out at Stone Farm. He cost $490,000 as a England September yearling. He was sent over to Ireland to be trained by Aidan O'Brien. And, you know, it's one thing for us to say he's Aidan O'Brien's best 2-year-old that he's ever trained, but the numbers actually say it. He's the highest rated 2-year-old ever trained by Aidan O'Brien, and he's the highest rated 2-year-old in Europe in the last 20 years, with the exception of Frankel. So that puts him in fairly select company. You know, he's a very nice looking horse, 16-1, a lot of quality to him, very, very good mover. He walks like a cat, and he goes back to the family of Flanders, so he's certainly got the pedigree behind him as well. He's been very well received, you know, great 2-year-old, a great stallion prospect, and a son of Warford. He stands for 25,000, and you know, we think he's good value. The market seems to have reacted to him very well. And I'd urge breeders to come out and take a look at him.
Yeah, he's won 3 grade ones. You can't pass that up.
3 grade ones and 3 consecutive grade ones at 2 in Ireland and England, and 3 of the top races that you want to win for any 2-year-old. You know, he won the Vincent O'Brien National Stakes, the Phoenix Stakes, and the Dewhurst in England. So he was certainly, there was no doubt he was going to be champion European 2-year-old.
You know, there's another horse that you have out there by the name of Vancouver, who was pretty darn good overseas as well, including that massive win in the Grade 1 Golden Slipper down in Australia. Tell me a little bit about him.
Well, he's a horse that we've only... I mean, Derma Ryan went down to Australia in the autumn, so in their sort of late spring for them, as he was just finishing up his Southern Hemisphere breeding season. He's already stood a season down there. And Dermot, our farm manager, went down to see him, and he was... instantly impressed by the horse. He's a 16-2 hands high son of Medaglia d'Oro out of a Danehill mare. He's very, very precocious. He's got a lovely body to him. I mean, he's a stunning looking individual. So we felt that we had to have him. He stands for 15,000 here, and he stands for 66,000 down in Australia. So I mean, we think he stands for he represents good value up here. He's only been in the country for 3.5 weeks, and we've already had over 120 seasons sold to him, and Whoa. Many more in the pipeline. So he's become, you know, he's people have certainly liked what they've seen.
Yeah, anytime you get a son of Medaglia d'Oro as accomplished, that's got to pick up a few heads, and he's got a very reasonable stud fee.
Very reasonable stud fee, and you know the Golden Slipper for in Australia is the equivalent of our Breeders' Cup Juvenile. You know, it's the race you want to win. It's the race the breeders down there want to win. It's the race the owners want to win. They all point for that race. It's over 6 furlongs. It's the richest 2-year-old race in the world. He comes from a good family as well. He's a half to a Grade 1 winning filly by Giant's Causeway. Goes back to a very precocious and fast Australian family. His second dam skating was a champion sprinter in Australia. So he comes from a very good family, very fast, precocious family. The Australians certainly know a lot about breeding for speed. I mean, the American bloodstock sometimes gets a... gets praised for a farm with speed we have, but really the Australians are the ones who are precocious and they get a lot of speed, and that's what they specialize in.
Adrian, you have another horse out there that I find quite interesting, and that's Declaration of War. He's a son of Warfront, and Warfront, as we know, has had a tremendous amount of success. But Declaration of War comes in as a dual Grade 1 winner and a horse that had all kinds of ability. Tell me a little bit about him.
He does. He's very, very accomplished. And again, the son of a Warfront out of Arahi Mare. Same family as Union Rags, so he comes from a stallion family. He's going to have his first two-year-old this year. His first yearlings averaged 120,000 for 77 sold, so they're in the right hands. They're going to be trained by the right trainers. He stood his first season in Europe, so the majority of his first runners will probably be in Ireland and England. However, there are 30 or 42-year-olds of his over here in this country as well, so he should be well represented on both sides of the Atlantic. He's a horse that, you know, he did race primarily in Europe, but on his one start in America on dirt in the Breeders' Cup Classic, he finished a very close third to Mucho Macho Man and Will Take Charge. So he was, had he changed leads in the stretch, he may well have won the race. You know, he wasn't beaten far by any means. I'm sure you guys remember the race. It was a thrilling finish. He's very highly accomplished, very good looking. He stands for 35,000. I think he's good value at that, and we'd be pretty high on him to be up there in the Freshman Sires Championship. Aidan O'Brien's got a lot of them. He actually sent out a memo the other day urging us to breed more mares to the horse. He says they're very, very tough. Many more of our own mares, I mean, to the horse. He said they're very, very tough and showing, even though it's early days, they're going the right way in Ballydoyle. So, you know, he, as I say, a lot of them will be trained by Aidan O'Brien, which is no small thing. So we're sort of cautiously optimistic.
Talking with Adrian Wallace, Coolmore's Ashford Stud, here on HRRN, the Stallion Spotlight segment for this Saturday morning. Only a couple of minutes left here, Adrian, but Jude and I would be remiss if we did not ask you about champion Uncle Mo, and if we didn't talk about the success that he has had, the sire of a record, how about this, 21 stakes winners from his first crop, including Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist and Alcibiades winner Gomo.
Gomo, Outwork. I mean, the list goes on. He's got, as you guys know, he's got a runner today in the LeCompte for Tom Amos, shareholder value. It seems like every Saturday in all the big races, he's got a representative, a horse that's got off to a started stud that we've never seen like him, never seen the like of. I mean, his stud fee reflects that. He's gone from standing at 22,500. Up to now, 150,000. People can't get enough of him. You know, for this year, his book is as strong as ever, or stronger than ever in terms of the quality of mares he's receiving. The Holder, for example, is one of the mares on his book. So we're very thankful to Mr. Hughes for entrusting his champion with our stallion. And hopefully, you know, I think it could be a very exciting maiden. You know, he's an amazing stallion to get off to the start that he has. With his first two crops is unheard of.
Well, Uncle Mo certainly getting it done, as are so many of those Coolmore stallions, and there are many more that we didn't get time to talk about, so all we'll do is encourage you to head over to coolmore.com to learn more. You can see all the American stallions and the stallions all over the world. It's coolmore.com. Adrian, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend, and keep it rolling out there with those stallions.
Thank you, guys, and we really appreciate your support. Thanks for all you do.
All right, Adrian Wallace with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will indeed receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back and tell you what's coming up in the second half of the program. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home of the 2017 Pegasus World Cup.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor.
a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and 6 times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
Don't miss the 5th Annual Houston Racing Festival from Sam Houston Race Park with over $800,000 in purses Sunday, January 29th. The Houston Racing Festival will be anchored by the $400,000 Grade 3 Houston Ladies Classic and will feature 4 additional stakes races, including the $250,000 Grade 3 Connolly Turf Cup, the Frontier Utilities Turf Sprint, and the Spa City Stakes, also the Houston Distaff. First post will be 12 p.m. Central. Take advantage of our low 12% takeout at Sam Houston Race Park.
This afternoon, Gulfstream Park is your home for the Sunshine Millions and the Eclipse Awards before shining the spotlight on the $12 million Pegasus World Cup on January 28th. Make sure you reserve your seats today for the Breeders' Cup Classic rematch between the Bob Baffert-trained Arrowgate and the world's richest racehorse, California Chrome. Tickets are still available at PegasusWorldCup.com. Gulfstream Park, welcome to your playground.
Grade 1 winner Data Link by world-renowned sire Warfront. Data Link scored in the prestigious Grade 1 Makers 46 Mile at Keeneland. Then set a new course record in the Grade 2 Monmouth Stakes. With a pedigree free of Mr. Prospector in the first 4 generations, Data Link is the perfect outcross option. His first weanlings turned heads, selling well above the stud fee. Data Link at Claiborne Farm.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their 3-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Penn and Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, back with you on the Equine Forum on HRN. Don't forget, coming up this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern, here our live coverage of the Sunshine Millions at Gulfstream Park. That begins 5 Eastern right here on HRN, and you can listen exclusively at horseracingradio.net. Anthony Stabile and retired jockey Christina McManigal will have the coverage for you later today. Should be a great day of racing. Also, the Eclipse Awards coming up tonight at Gulfstream, and they will be hosted by ESPN's Janine Edwards, who, by the way, is going to join us in the second half of the program right around 9:25 Eastern time, and looking forward to that visit, JT.
Yeah, it'll be great to find out Janine's take on things. She's very sharp. She's done this before. She's a fantastic hostess for the Eclipse Awards.
Yeah, it should be a great night and a very special night. And Janine tweeted out earlier that there are some surprises and some special things that the NTRA has in store for this evening tonight at Gulfstream Park. So we'll try to pry some of that information out of Janine when she joins us in a little bit. At 9 o'clock, right after this short little break, we're going to talk with Tim Rooney, who is the son of Pittsburgh Steelers founder Art Rooney Sr. Tim now running Yonkers. He's been in that position for a very long time, running Yonkers Raceway. And his brother, Pat, runs the dog track down in Florida, the Palm Beach Kennel Club. So looking forward to that visit coming up in just a couple of minutes. And it's appropriate with the Steelers being in that AFC Championship game against the Patriots tomorrow that we would focus on this particular topic, because the Rooneys have a long history of being associated with horse racing and with the sport. So we're looking forward to visiting with Tim here coming up in just a couple of moments. But first, we're going to pause 10 seconds for a station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Behold the Ren Songbird, a soul-stirring duel. Forever unbridled, two-legs back bird. Songbird and Beholder, Beholder and Songbird. A cliffhanger that could go either way.
Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Brigator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Brigator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Brigator, these two come down to the line together.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
The California Chrome has gone into overdrive. He's two lengths in front. He's clear of Munda Hitch battling on. Then for sure wish, but it's California Chrome in front. It's Alchemy in Dubai. Chrome turns to gold.
Great Bong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Trey Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Trey Fong's the leader. Trey Fong has won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on this 21st day of January 2017, getting set to embark upon a new broadcast season here on HRRN, and we will do that later today, 5 Eastern, with our coverage of the Sunshine Millions at Gulfstream Park. And of course, next Saturday, it's all about that $12 million Pegasus World Cup at Gulfstream. We will be there on site with this particular program from 8 to 10, and we'll bring you that coverage next Saturday beginning 4 o'clock Eastern. Do not miss it. Make sure you're tuned in to HRN and that coverage coming up next Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. And I guess Airgate's working today as well.
He will. He's going to work later today in California and then head on over to Gulfstream.
Between races. So we've got that hurdle to get by, and then it's going to be one of the highlights of the year, no doubt.
Well, if you missed any portion of the first half of the show, including our interview with trainer Alan Sherman talking about California Chrome's final career workout, which happened earlier this morning, shortly after 7:30 Eastern, you can head back to our website, check out the podcast of this show and all of our shows. It's there for you, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. You also, in the first half of the show, heard that brand new Lexus Legends of the Turf segment that Jude and our producer Lee Delapina put together, did a beautiful job with it. And that Legends of the Turf focused on Art Rooney Sr., who is the founder of the Pittsburgh Steelers, bought the organization back in 1933 when they were then known as the Pittsburgh Pirates. Well, his son, Tim Rooney, much like his dad, a huge horse racing fan, and for years he has run Yonkers Raceway. His brother, Pat, is involved with racing as well, having run Palm Beach Kennel Club in Florida for a very long time. And we are privileged now to welcome to the program Mr. Tim Rooney. Tim, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I very much enjoy your show. And I know what your anticipation is for this big race. And And I surely don't blame you or anybody for being enthusiastic about it, you know.
Well, it's a special race, and, of course, the world's richest horse race, $12 million, $7 million to the winner. That would be okay, wouldn't it?
Yes, it sure would be.
We need to put together a $12 million race at Yonkers.
Oh, God. Yeah, that would take – that would have to be a series.
Well, Tim, we were talking in the first half of the show that this is so appropriate that you would join us on this particular show with the Steelers being in the AFC Championship game tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think about the Rooney family and the involvement in the NFL and the name that you have been able to build and the reputation. It's the same in horse racing as well. But tell us the Rooney story. Take us back to the beginning and tell us that story of your dad and being involved with horse racing.
Well, gosh, my father, I don't know how he ever got involved in horse racing coming from Pittsburgh in those days, which was mainly known for nothing more than steel and being the steel capital of the world. But somehow he got involved in racing, and he was extremely, you know, very good at it. But his end of racing was betting on horses, and he had more than a knack for it, and in fact, the day I was born, that week, my father, after starting at Empire City, which is now Yonkers Raceway in Empire City Casino, he got a bankroll together there, and then went to Saratoga and made an awful lot of money. And when I was born, he was at Saratoga, but he came home right after that, and he told Tim Mara when he was leaving that he would never allow Tim to forget it, although Tim wasn't going to forget it anyhow because my father took him for an awful lot of money because Tim was a professional bookmaker in those days, which was 100% legal in those days. And he named me after Tim Mara, you know, so, you know, that I guess I was born with a little bit of it comes down naturally for me to be so interested in racing coming from that source. You know, but my father, you know, got into racing very early also and had, you know, and I remember going to the races with him when I was too young to get into the racetracks at Monmouth Park and Bowie and Laurel and all those places, and I had to stay in the barn area or sneak in or over a fence or something and then hide in a box or something. But generally I would spend the day, you know, in the barn area, you know, with the horses. But in those days, I think we had a whole barn load of horses. Today it'd be a little hard to be training four horses or 40 horses, you know, with the cost of training now as opposed to then. But, of course, the purses are a heck of a lot different also. But my father had horses all of his senior life, probably starting in his 30s, you know. Until he died, he had horses, and we have a farm in Maryland, as you know, that we've had for just under 70 years, you know, between Baltimore and Frederick, and I have an interest in a stud farm in Ireland besides, you know. So I like the horses very much, and I like the breeding part of it also besides, you know, running them, you know.
So you're more of somebody that got into racing because of the horses from hanging out on the backside than going to the races, actually.
Well, I went to the races. I went to the races when I could get into them, but I only had to climb over the fence. I think one time, I think it was at Bowie, which no longer exists. You know, but. I was going to the races, but had to be in the backstretch until I was, I guess, 18. Then you could get in, or at least they thought you were old enough to get in at some stage. But I always enjoyed that. And, of course, my father went, you know, when I first got my license to drive, I would drive him every weekend. We'd drive down to Baltimore, you know, or to our farm outside of Baltimore. And, of course, then we'd go to Pimlico or Laurel or you know, one of the racetracks that we're operating down there for the weekend, then we'd come back to Pittsburgh again on Sunday. This when football season was, and when football season started, of course, sometimes in those days the team wasn't good. My father would get the heck out of town on Monday, so he didn't have to have anybody see him or talk to him about how bad the football team was. so we'd go down to our farm and go to the races and hide out down there until things cleared up a little bit in Pittsburgh, you know.
Visiting with Tim Rooney, the son of Pittsburgh Steeler founder Art Rooney Sr. And, Tim, you think about the story that's involved with the Steelers franchise and how it came to be. And quite often we hear that, oh, the Steelers were purchased based on a bet that was won in Saratoga. That's not necessarily true, because your dad had already owned the team prior to making that score at Saratoga.
He bought it in 1933 for $2,500. So you didn't have to win an awful lot of money betting on a horse, to come up with $2,500 even in those days, he did well. No, I wouldn't rule out that his keeping the football team for all those years didn't have something to do with the horses, but it surely didn't have anything to do with his buying them,
Well, when he made that big score at Saratoga, the reports were up to $380,000, and the officials at Saratoga offered him a Brinks truck to take that money back to New York. In those days, people were living on $20 a week. They were supporting a family, so that was a huge score if that number is correct. But he made lots of big scores, evidently, around the country. There's another one, $100,000 score at Aqueduct in, I think, 1937 or something. So he really was a great handicapper, or at least a fantastic bettor.
Yes, I mean, some of the stories on that are just unbelievable. I know one story. He was in Maryland. There was nobody happened to be with him, and he was going to bet on his horse, and he generally would have other people bet for him. And this is when parimutuels actually started. And he went up to the window and to bet a couple hundred dollars, or probably a little bit more, and the guy looked up, when he was betting, this bigger bet than he was used to getting, and he saw that it was my father, and everybody knew my father around the racetrack, and the guy yelled down the main line, "Rooney's betting on his horse," and everybody stopped betting, taking the bets off of the public that was on the witness and started betting for themselves. And my father had to yell, "What? Cut me in! Let me in on it!"
That's a great story. I can imagine, Tim, that you have so many memories of going to the races with your father and being around him in those early days. What's another memory that stands out to you about being with him at the racetrack?
Well, this isn't quite the same as that, but when you'd go to the races with my father, I mean, it was immediate that people start coming up to my father, and of course you had an awful lot of tots that were either a trainer or a jock's agent or different people, as at racetracks, and they all have an opinion, and they'd all like to give somebody like my father, a tip on a winner. And this one day we got to the races, and we were going over to try to get some seats. My father never had a box, but the ushers knew him and would put him in somebody's box that wasn't using him that day. And by the time we went from the main gate to the box that we were going to sit in, he had nine different tips on nine different horses, and there was only nine in the race. So he had a tip on every horse in the race, but that was more common than you would think, there was things like that happened to you all the time with my father, and everybody knew him, he and his trainer one day pulled up to pick us up. We were going, or he was, I went, happened, didn't happen to be with him, and he came down from New York, I think, on a train, on the racetrack train, and Harold McCormick was one of his trainers, and he came up to pick up my father in a pickup truck, and it wasn't a very nice pickup truck, and he started to pull in, and he said, "Get that truck out of here, we don't allow pickup trucks in here, this is valet parking," or something, and he said, "Well, I'm picking up Art Rooney and Mr. Rooney," and he said, "Art Rooney isn't coming out and getting in that thing."
Tim Rooney with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Tim, what was it that led your dad to eventually purchase Yonkers Raceway?
Oh, boy. It became available. It probably is the one thing. And in those days, Yonkers was the biggest harness track in the world, and it probably was in the top five racetracks in the world in those days. It was before off-track betting, and it was in an age when harness racing, was a lot more popular than it is today. And so the opportunity came up, and you know, the Tandem Bombs were interested in selling it, and we ended up buying it, you know, from them, you know, he loved coming down there, and of course he loved coming down there and just meeting all the people around the racetrack. But the nice thing about coming to the harness horse is that you know, we sold the racing for him there the night before, you know, for the early edition, and he did, you know, he'd love to sit in my office and we could watch the races live on the television. But then also he could be handicapping on at the racing form, you know, the races for the next day, you know, with the flats, you know. But he enjoyed going to the races all the time. I know we used to go on retreats, or not retreats, we used to go visit the shrines in Canada and everything, you know, at St. Anne de Beaupre's and things like that. And every year we made a trip up there. Well, we just happened that we made the trip every year by way of every racetrack that was operating in the eastern United States, you know. So I wondered I used to kid him about the shrines of Aqueduct and the shrines of Blue Bonnets and shrines of, you know, Laurel Raceway or Pimlico, you know. But he worked racing in everything we did, it seemed to me, you know.
Well, Tim, your brothers are still involved, obviously, with running the Pittsburgh Steelers to this day, that Rooney family entrenched in the NFL and in that Steelers franchise. But in 2009, you and your brother Pat had to kind of make a decision whether you were going to stick with the franchise or focus more on the racing side of things. Is that true?
That's right, yes. And the big thing, of course, in those days, the Rooneys, we, you know, we're just such an unbelievable big family with five boys that if the football team was going to stay in the Rooney family name, as a family, we just sort of had to cut down on the number of owners there were and who was had something to say about the place, it was just a thing for the future that it was better off being in our brother Dan, who was the one that was running it for a lot of years. Anyhow, it was better to have it in his hands than it was. With the, so many, as we went in, these generations are getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and with all of us having a number of children, and then now our children having children, that we were going to be a semi-public corporation, you know, and so I think that had something to do, you know, with that we had, sooner or later we were going to have to get out anyhow, you know, and as sad as it was for us, because I think if any one of us, I hate to say this on a racing show, but if any one of us had a choice of what we would do, we would rather be in the football business than in racing. But, you know, we surely enjoy racing, you know.
And I'm going to assume that you're going to be glued to the TV tomorrow afternoon?
Oh, well, we sure will be. Everybody, you know, be there or watching it, you know. It's a lot easier watching things like that on television than it is going to the games and then having to take a long ride home if everything doesn't go your way. It's the same way, of course, with a racetrack. You hate to drive a couple of miles to go to a racetrack and then have your horse not race very well. It's very discouraging, and it makes the 2-hour ride back from it, if that's how long it took you, a lot longer than it would have been, you know, if you won, you know. And I'm not projecting that we're going to lose under an eighth, you know, measure either, you know. I think the football team has a darn good chance of winning tomorrow if everything goes right, you know.
Yeah, well, those long ride homes are not good, but when you win, it seems like it only takes 2 seconds.
You don't notice it a bit, you know. You're home immediately, you know.
Tim, what do you think your father would say if he could see the way that everything has materialized and developed with not only the NFL franchise, but with Yonkers, everything that you've done with that particular racetrack? What do you think you would say if you could see all this today?
Well, I think he'd be really, I think, enthusiastic. And I think he'd probably also think we got very lucky, you know. the same as you do sometimes when you bet on a horse and luck has to come into it somehow, even with ability, you know. And I think he would have very much enjoyed that, because he enjoyed going to the races, and now, of course, with us having a casino also, we're, you know, at the place, to see it jumping like that, I think he'd be very enthusiastic about it. But that type of wagering, you surely would never never induce him to be too interested in it from a fan standpoint, though, you know.
Well, Tim, so many interesting aspects of not only the football side of things, but the horse racing side of things, and it's been a delight to hear your story and to talk to you. I do have one final question, though, before I let you go. We often hear the term the Rooney way when we talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and there's a certain way to do business. The Maras with the NFL Giants have kind of been the same way. What is the Rooney way, and how have you taken that and made it successful with horse racing as well?
I really think that, you know, if you summarize that, it probably is a lot longer explanation than what I could give you, but I think the shortest way to tell you is treat people the way you would like to be treated yourself, you know. And I think that would be the best way to describe it, you know, and not think you're better than anybody, you know.
Well, that philosophy has worked very well for a very long time, and it's a philosophy that your father, Art, instilled in you and your brothers. And we want to wish you all the best with Yonkers and with all of your interests in horse racing, the farm and the farm in Ireland. And, of course, all the best to the Pittsburgh Steelers tomorrow afternoon as well.
And I don't, you know, and by the way, I do have an interest in, you know, horse in the breeders or in this big race coming up, you know, Neolithic, you know, which isn't, I'm not giving you anything like that as a tip. But, but he is in the race, you know. But for him to win that race, there's two horses. And I won't give you the name of the two horses that's on top of them, but they are really unbelievably special horses, you know.
Yeah,
it's going to be a good race anyhow. I think it's going to be a tremendous race, in fact.
Well, you got to throw them in the try.
Yes. Yeah. With that type of purse, you know, third place wouldn't be bad, you know.
No, that would be okay. Are you going to be at the races next week?
Oh, I will be, yes, surely, yes.
We will look forward to saying hello in person then.
Great.
When we get down there, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
That's super, and good luck to you guys. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Okay, bye.
Tim Rooney here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You know, you think about the Rooneys and the way that they've handled the NFL franchise, and you think of the number one word for me anyways that comes to mind is class. And when you hear Tim Rooney talk, and you hear him talk about his dad and the involvement in racing that they've had for many, many years, it just, he exudes class. You could hear it in his voice.
Yeah, it's a legacy. You know, evidently his father was kind of a wild man.
Yeah.
But
and not afraid to place a bet or two.
Yeah. But you know, that's all right. And his sons have turned out to be upstanding citizens. It kind of goes back to my thing about taking your kids to the track. It's a good idea to take your kids to the racetrack. They learn a lot about life there. And so it's a nice story. It's a great family legacy.
I read a story that his dad would always drive Buicks, and he had this black Buick that when he passed away, the brothers decided that they would bring it to Yonkers and keep it in a garage at Yonkers, and it's there to this day. It smells like cigars of Art Rooney Sr., and Tim had mentioned in this article that every once in a while he'll just get in the car and take it for a drive and kind of soak in that ambiance of knowing that, you know, this was his dad's car.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it does have that cigar smoke, leaves that distinctive smell.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, we're going to get to another break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Janine Edwards, who will be hosting the Eclipse Awards later tonight. We'll do that right after this break here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic producing sire and the sire of a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Trey Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Trey Fong's the leader. Trey Fong has won.
In addition to Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint and King's Bishop winner Trey Fong, Gio Ponti is also represented by Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Parrou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front. And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings have been well-received in 2016. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Racing fans, make plans now to be at Santa Anita for the inaugural $12 million Pegasus World Cup Invitational next Saturday, January 28th from Gulfstream Park. Come see California Chrome as he tries to go out a winner in what shapes up as an epic rematch with Breeders' Cup Classic champion Arrogate. That's California Chrome versus Arrogate in the $12 million Pegasus World Cup from Gulfstream Park on Saturday, January 28th. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
A multiple grade one winning millionaire sprinter.
It's going to be very close at the finish, and here's the wire. It's Palace, the winner.
The best son of leading sire City Zip.
And it will be Palace, the winner by 3/4 of a length. And Palace dazzles here and wins by 3.5 lengths.
Palace, new for 2016 at Spendthrift Farm. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
New to cool more America for 2017, Air Force Blue. A force to be reckoned with. A champion 2-year-old by Warfront.
And Air Force Blue now comes bounding through. 2, 3 lengths clear. A really good horse.
A 3-time Group 1 winner. Armed with a devastating turn of foot. He's ready to take flight as a sire. It's time to get on board. Cool more America, home of champions.
Don't miss the 5th Annual Houston Racing Festival from Sam Houston Race Park with over $800,000 in purses Sunday, January 29th. The Houston Racing Festival will be anchored by the $400,000 Grade 3 Houston Ladies Classic and will feature 4 additional stakes races, including the $250,000 Grade 3 Connolly Turf Cup, the Frontier Utilities Turf Sprint, and the Spa City Stakes, also the Houston Distaff. First post will be 12 p.m. Central. Take advantage of our low 12% takeout at Sam Houston Race Park.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Oh my goodness, look at Frosted today. Frosted's 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely rubbed in the Met Mile.
Frosted absolutely annihilated his competition in that Grade 1 Met Mile victory. His 14.25 length win resulted in a new stakes record, and his 123 buyer speed figure is the highest in 2016, with Arrowgate's 122 and 120 and California Chrome's 4th highest at 119, making Frosted your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. A multiple Grade 1 winning son of champion sire Tappet, Frosted earned more than $3.1 million and is a graded stakes winner in both the United States and Dubai. A winner of the Grade 1 Wood Memorial at 3 and historic Whitney Stakes at 4, Frosted is Tappet's highest earner in North America and stands at Darley for $50,000 stands and nurses. Learn more about Frosted and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Jockey Rajiv Maharaj, and I love the Horse Racing Radio Network, the best show on the planet.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
As they come to the top of the stretch, it is Arrowgate and Mike Smith. Oh, they've opened up a six-length lead here with 1 furlong to run. They've left the field reeling behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are fired. Behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12. Oh, what a race he ran today. American Freedom was second. Gunrunner was third. And Giftbox was fourth. And a final time of 1 minute 59.36 seconds. The fastest Travers ever. And a new track record.
Larry Colmus with the call of that Travers Stakes from Saratoga this past summer. Of course, you heard that call right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And Arrowgate, so impressive that afternoon, just annihilating the field. And he did it so easily, Jude, that when you go back and you watch the replay, you go, how on earth did he run that fast?
Yeah, it was an unbelievable performance. I've said many times, it's a best race I've ever seen a horse run in person.
Because of that performance and, of course, his win in the Breeders' Cup Classic over California Chrome, Arrowgate is one of three finalists for that Horse of the Year title, which will be decided tonight at the 46th Annual Eclipse Awards. Those awards being held at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, and they will be hosted once again by ESPN's Janine Edwards, who is kind enough to spend some time with us right now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Janine, welcome to the program.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Everything is great here. How are things in South Florida?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I took my little walk to Starbucks, and it's a nice sunny day, and sitting under the palm trees. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Yeah, that's the life, isn't it?
It is. But I'll be going home to Oklahoma tomorrow, so, you know, short-lived.
Yeah.
Well, a very special evening coming up tonight. It always is when we hand out those Eclipse Awards, and so much intrigue in so many of the different categories. But you have the privilege of hosting the event again. Is this, what, the sixth time in a row? Is that right?
I know. Don't remind me. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm thrilled to be back. It's such an honor. You know, it's a special night because we get to talk about and celebrate the best of the best. And of course, last year it was all about American Pharoah. And that was a night I'll always remember because it didn't really feel like an awards ceremony. It felt more like just a celebration of everything that he was and that he brought to the sport. And, you know, and I don't think we'll ever top that, but because we have so many great athletes, human and equine, being honored tonight, it's going to be a really great evening.
Yeah, it's always a fun place to be, and you do such a great job of keeping the ball rolling. We all know there's a lot of egomaniacs in our business, and they get up there, and they talk and talk and talk, but you keep the ball rolling, and you do a marvelous job, and I'm glad they've kept you on for so long, because it really makes a big difference.
Oh, well, thank you. You're too kind. You're giving me way too much credit. I have to say that the people behind the scenes that put this together, Keith Chamblin of the NTRA, you know, Jim Gluckson, Peter Rotondo from Breeders' Cup, there's so many people behind the scenes that actually put the award show together and do a fantastic job and help me, get me everything I need, spell everything out. All I do is write my scripts, but they give me all the help I need, and they are the ones that are really, tonight you'll see, hopefully, we're really trying to keep it moving even quicker tonight. We really want to get done by 10:30. That's the goal, and I'm going to try my darndest, but, you know, if you get a few people that go rogue on you and won't get off the stage, there's not a whole lot I can do about that.
Well, you'll be able to watch those Eclipse Awards tonight on TVG2 Network. And Janine, yesterday you sent out a tweet that said, be ready for glitz, glam, prizes, and surprises. What are some of the things we can look forward to at tonight's Eclipse Award ceremonies?
Well, they've got I don't know if I can give it all away, but they've got a few little neat things that are planned for before the ceremony actually begins, before dinner. There is an item that is going to be auctioned off for charity that is going to be quite intriguing and I think will be very, very popular. There are some gifts that are going to be on the tables for all the finalists, which people will see are extremely generously donated. There are some buckets of champagne that are going to be handed out. There's, you know, there's a few little things that they have planned tonight that are a little bit different. So I think it's going to be a really fun evening, and we should elevate the energy level, I think, with what they have planned during that 7 to 8 p.m. cocktail hour this evening to kind of get people excited for the evening.
Yeah, well, that's good. Hopefully everybody will have a cocktail or two and be ready for the show and not go too long.
Exactly. We want them to have a cocktail or two, but not 10 or 20.
That's exactly right.
Visiting with ESPN's Janine Edwards here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Janine, obviously, all eyes will be on Horse of the Year. That's always a highly anticipated category at the Eclipse Awards. Arrowgate, California Chrome, and the Philly Songbird, those three finalists. Outside of that category, what are some of the other categories that have you excited that you're going to have your eye on tonight?
Well, I think, you know, anytime you can talk about perfection or near perfection, I happen to be a big Songbird fan. So, you know, she should be a lock to be champion three-year-old filly, and rightfully so. There are some categories that are really intriguing, though. I mean, you look at sprinter, male sprinter. There are two undefeated sprinters, both trained by Bob Baffert. They're both finalists. Not really sure how you separate them. Another category is three-year-old male. I mean, when you look at the finalists, Arrowgate, Exaggerator, Nyquist, Arrowgate, yeah, he won the Travers and set a new track record, and yes, he did win the Breeders' Cup Classic, but do we totally eliminate the Kentucky Derby winner? So that, to me, is going to be interesting. I mean, I'm guessing that Arrowgate will have a slight edge there, but to me, you know, the Derby is the Derby. Female turf horse is, I think you know, Teppan is the favorite, but when you look at the other finalists, I mean, they are deserving as well. And then there's Beholder in the older filly and mare category, which she should get, obviously. But Stellar Wind beat her twice, and Jude, you know, because you're out there in California, you know, that's kind of, they both beat one another twice. But, you know, as we've seen over the last 20 years, the Breeders' Cup is really starting to carry more and more and more weight at the end of the year and with the voters for these Eclipse Awards. So, yeah, it's just interesting when you start looking through all the past performances and you're like, well, you know, that horse had a great season and that horse had a great campaign. And there's just so many very deserving athletes that were finalists that will be, hopefully everybody will be there to be represented tonight.
Yeah, I think it was a really contentious year in a lot of the categories, and there were several horses that I had on my ballot that didn't even make the top three. And
wow.
So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, and I don't think I was alone in that. I think there were a lot of other people that had some different ideas. So it's not as cut and dried as some years, you know, it's like a rubber stamp. I mean, it's sometimes even silly to vote, but this year it was kind of tough as you went through the list of horses, because there were so many that had either abbreviated seasons or, you know, maybe mm-hmm. didn't finish out the year the way they started. And you have to kind of look at the whole body of work and see where they fit in.
Exactly. You're right. I saw several horses started out the year really, really strong and then maybe finished with, you know, a second and a third here and there. People tend to forget, you know, it's what have you done for me lately? So you're right. Very, very important to look at the entire body of work. And that's when you really get bogged down in, well, is this horse really better than this horse? And so that's why there's, you know, chocolate and vanilla, and every, you know, people have different reasons for voting different ways, but it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be intriguing to see how it all shakes out tonight.
Yeah. And again, all that coverage coming up on TVG2 network tonight. So you can check out Janine and check out the entire program. It's going to be a very special evening. Janine, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that ESPN was honored with another Eclipse Award this year, and that's the Media Eclipse Award for the television feature program that was aired on E60, and the feature was called Barnyard Buddies. Congratulations on that accomplishment for the network, and a really, really fun look at the industry.
Oh, isn't that cute? Yeah, I mean, I had nothing to do with it, but thank you for mentioning. And I know one of the people who worked on the piece, Heather Lombardo, she's a huge racing fan. She's done several pieces on racing in the past, and she works on E60 now as sort of a supervising producer. And she had contacted me to get some information on several of the people and horses that were actually in the piece. And that piece is so adorable, and it just illustrates how there's so much more behind the scenes to any sport, really, than most people know about. And I thought they did a fantastic job with that.
Yeah, a very positive look into the world of thoroughbred racing, and that's what I loved about it.
Exactly.
Jude, don't you always feel like you're hosting SportsCenter when you get a chance to talk with Janine? Let's head out to Janine Edwards, who is with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Janine, how are the Steelers coping with the pressure of this AFC Championship game tomorrow?
Exactly. You're funny, guys. Hey, I can talk about college football all day long, whatever you want to talk about. I just came off a very, very fun season doing that. NFL, I'm not so dialed in on, unfortunately.
Is it Seminoles or Tide at the number one position next year when we open things up?
Oh, it's going to be Alabama. Yeah.
It's almost always Alabama,
or
right?
Or it could be Clemson.
Oh, that's right, too.
Yeah.
Let's not forget about Clemson.
I would say Clemson, Alabama, maybe Florida State, Michigan. Maybe that. I'd go there. Michigan loses a lot of people, though. They've got 18 seniors, you know what I mean? So it's going to be tough. If Jim Harbaugh is the genius that we all think he is, he's really going to have to pull a rabbit out of his hat next year.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that Florida State and Alabama play in the home in the opening game of the season.
In the opener, yes, they do. That's why you had Seminoles on the brain. Yep. And I covered the Orange Bowl, and they had that great one point win over Michigan. That was epic.
Yeah, very special. It's been a fun year for Janine Edwards. That continues tonight with the Eclipse Awards. And Janine, we can't thank you enough for spending a little time with us. It's always a delight to catch up. We don't do it often enough. But enjoy the night tonight, and we'll look forward to watching.
Thank you, guys. And I always enjoy talking with you. So anytime, just let me know.
All right. Thanks, Janine. Janine Edwards, like all of our guests who appear on the program, does indeed receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, and you can wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. She's so much fun.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Yeah, really does a nice job navigating it. If people think that's an easy thing to do, to host an awards program like that, forget about it.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, I have emceed several events, and that's not necessarily the easiest thing sometimes, especially when things go off script.
Yeah.
But if you're on television like this and you're hosting an event like the Eclipse Awards, things can get out of hand pretty quickly. You made it mention the fact that people can maybe talk a little bit too long.
Yeah, well, you know, and they don't always have the band to get them off the stage.
Yeah. I remember when we won back in 2010 for the Breeders' Cup, and I was accepting, and they handed the microphone to me. I said, oh, this is a big mistake. Because they told me, you had 30 seconds. I said, oh, come on. We win an Eclipse Award, our first Eclipse Award, and you're going to limit me to 30 seconds? And then they hand the radio guy the microphone.
Yeah,
always a big mistake.
That's what happens to me when I'm working in the paddock at the Kentucky Derby, and that's what Howie says. You have 30 seconds.
30 seconds, yeah.
I'm supposed to sum up the entire field, 24 horses in 30 seconds.
It's hard. You can't. I mean,
sound like the Jimmy Johns guy.
Yeah. Especially with something like that, especially for those people that are going to be honored tonight that maybe might be winning an Eclipse Award for the first time. You know, that you want that. I mean, it's a special moment. You want to say all your thank yous. Make sure you don't leave anybody out. It's not easy to do in a short time span. So my point is that things can get off track pretty quickly in a live event like that.
Well, you know, G.D. Hieronymus and I, when we won the Eclipse Award for Keeneland for local television, and G.D. and I had an idea of what G.D. was going to say when he got up there, because he was the one that was going to accept the award. And it all went out the window. And I said, GD, what happened to our little speech that we talked about? He goes, well, we were running so far behind. And GD used to produce the Eclipse Awards.
Yep.
He said, we were running so far behind, I didn't want to make the show go any longer. So it helps sometimes if you have somebody with that mindset. Like if Mr. Hughes wins tonight, he's got two entrants. If they both win, that's going to help the show go shorter because he never goes long.
yeah, exactly. Well, congratulations to the winners in our category this year, the multimedia Eclipse category, and the winners were the Daily Racing Form. We are very proud to say that we were the honorable mention in that category, so we're very proud of that. But we do want to wish DRF a very special congratulations for their piece that they did, which was called Time Band. It's written by our friend Jay Hovde, who does a phenomenal job with Daily Racing Form.
Yeah,
well deserved.
Jay's a fantastic writer, and glad for the DRF. It's nice to take home the statue.
All right, we're going to get to another break. We'll come back and take a look at some of the big races around the country in our final segment of the show, including the LeCompte and the Silver Bullet Day. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home of the Pegasus World Cup.
Power.
Anchor Down has taken the lead once again, leaving Myositis Dan behind.
Passion.
Anchor Down has built a 5-length lead with just a 16th to the finish.
Performance.
Tamar Coase can't get by him. And Anchor Down wires the field in the Kelso.
Gainsway is proud to announce the newest addition to their stallion roster for the 2017 breeding season, Anchor Down. A son of Gainsway's perennial leading sire, Tappet, Anchor Down is a multiple graded stakes winner at Belmont Park who defeated Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Tamar Coase in the Grade 2 Kelso with a near track record time of 132.90 while earning a buyer speed figure of 108, the second highest dirt figure of 2016 at the distance. Out of a graded stakes winning 2-year-old, Anchor Down is a half brother to Grade 1 winning sprinter Sweet Lulu, who sold for $3 million as a broodmare, and a full brother to Grade 1 juvenile performer Iron Fist. Anchor Down, standing at Gainsway.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care, just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello,
boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Saints fan is now gaining ground between horses as they straighten away a storm in a fleet with under a quarter to go. Half mile in 45 and 3/5 seconds. Laughing Saint Song takes off at his final furlong. Laughing Saint Song roused by Florent Giroux. Saints fan charging on the outside. Jack Snipes is now third. Just Do is flattened. Here's Saints fan. Saints fan and Laughing Saint Song. Saints fan comes marching in the juvenile. Brian Hernandez Jr. for Dallas Stewart. Saints fan beats Laughing Saints Song. Jack Snipes was third and Philly finished fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Penna, Jude Feld. Winding down this edition of the program, but still some interesting information yet to come, including Jude's overview of the Silver Bullet Day and the LeCompte Stakes. That call from John G. Dooley down at the fairgrounds of Saints Fan winning the Louisiana Juvenile Stakes last time out on December 10th. Saints Fan is a perfect 2-for-2 to begin his career. He'll stretch out a little bit today in the LeCompte. He is trained by Dallas Stewart. He will break from post number 12, and he's 5-to-1 on the morning line in that race. We're going to talk about that one in just a minute, but we're going to start with the Silver Bullet Day Stakes, which is race number 9. This is the filly equivalent to the LeCompte, the 3-year-old fillies in the spotlight here, and the Kentucky Oaks hopefuls. And Untapped is an interesting prospect in this race. She has won 2 of 3 lifetime starts. She is trained by Steve Asmussen, and Jude, she certainly has the pedigree to be really, really good.
Yeah, well, she's definitely got all the credentials, as we like to say. She ticks all the boxes. She's won her last 2 starts. Broke her maiden in her 2nd start at Keeneland. It was very impressive. Won by 6.25 that day at 1-2. Really nice race. And then came back, won an allowance race at Fairgrounds on December the 23rd, going 1.70. She enters this race as the 9-to-5 morning line favorite, and definitely a major, major contender here. She has a filly to run against in the name of Feral, Malibu Moon filly out of an Unbridled Song mare. So that's another good mud pedigree. Chances are this race will be run in the mud. They're predicting some very strong thunderstorms at about 3:30 this afternoon in New Orleans. So we don't know exactly how the track's going to be, what's going on. They're off and on bad weather all day, although the maps look like it's kind of moving away from New Orleans, but it's probably swirling around a little bit. Farrell, she won by 6 last time at Churchill in the Grade 2 Goldenrod. So you might say she's a little bit more accomplished being a Grade 2 winner. But, you know, it's one of those races where I think if you're playing horizontal wagers like the Pick 4, which kicks off in this race, you absolutely have to use those two, Farrell and Untapped, especially in light of the track condition. Two other horses that Anthony and I talked about on the Naira Betts Stakes preview show. Gree Gree, number 2, trained by Bernie Flint. She's by Spring at Last. She's been a consistent filly. Also has a pedigree for mud. Her dam is by Spitestown. And then the 4, Summertime Sky from the Mark Cassie stable. Always have to respect Mark Cassie. This one, broke her maiden first time out on the turf. Stretches out and switches to dirt today, so that's usually not a super indicator of success, but she's got ability, and she's also got a little bit of a mud pedigree. Robbie Alvarado rides her at 4-to-1. So it's going to be an interesting race with Kentucky Oaks implications, but Untapped and Feral look like the top 2.
Yeah, they certainly do. And I mentioned that pedigree, Untapped, the full sister to champion Untappable. And you have to think that she is going to be a major player in that spot as we move closer to that first Friday in May. And looking at the first Friday, well, you have to take a look at the first Saturday. And, of course, that Run for the Roses taking place on May 6th this year. 105 days, 7 hours, 41 minutes, and 33 seconds away from that Run for the Roses. So edging ever closer, Pontiff.
Yes. Closer than we were at 8 o'clock when you gave the rundown
Which
at the
sense.
Opening of the, yeah, absolutely. Thank God we're still alive to talk about it. Always how about sketchy.
The mile and 70 yards. You've got the young 3-year-olds, a lot of them just kind of stretching out, kind of getting things. And there are some in here that have run these longer distances, but they're going to be asked to run a mile and a quarter on the first Saturday in May. What are you looking for from these horses here in the LeCompte as they pretty much get started on that road to Louisville today?
Well, you like to see development. You like to see horses that are progressing, getting better. Maybe a horse that's been running shorter distances stretches out, runs the best race of their life. That's a good indication that they're headed in the right direction. Again, if the weather's bad, the track is off, it's going to throw a little question mark into everybody in the race, no matter how they perform. But just because a horse runs good in the mud doesn't mean that when they come back, they won't continue to improve in a fast track race. If that's the case,
yep.
The next time, of course, we see horses like Exaggerator who move way up in the mud. So you have to watch that kind of a thing.
Yeah, there's a horse in the LeCompte, and I'll let you kind of go any direction you want to go. But the one horse that sticks out to me is a horse we talked about with Brett Jones from Airdrie a few weeks back on the program. That was back in the middle of December when he ran in the Sugar Bowl Stakes, and that's Running Mate, who is a son of their outstanding stallion Creative Cause, trained by Larry Jones. Jude, this is a horse that is 10-1 on the morning line in LeCompte, and going into that Sugar Bowl was all the rage. He was bet down as the heavy favorite that day.
Yeah, he was 40 cents on the dollar in the Sugar Bowl and figured to win the race. I don't know why he didn't, but he's a very fast horse, and he figures to make the lead in here. He's a horse that's bred to run around a ground. He's by Creative Cause, who's by Giants Causeway, out of a street cry mare. There's no reason he can't get the distance. His recent works have been outstanding since he had that, if you want to say disappointing second,
yep,
in the Sugar Bowl, which it was, you know, only disappointing if you bet on him or you owned him. But he's worked three times, all bullets, a very, very fast horse. He figures to make the lead in here. If the track's sloppy and he handles it, if they run him in the slop, he's going to be tough to pass, I would think. Larry Jones does not have, interestingly, because his horses are usually fit, does not have the best stretch out record. Only 10% winners out of 51 starts the first time going long. So that's an interesting deal. He does improve with two sprints before they route to 15%. So that's also very respectable. So
how important is it for a young horse to have that foundation?
Well, I like sprinting a horse a couple times and then stretching them out. I think it does them some good, and they get to learn a little bit without having it be too taxing and tiring. A lot of times you run a horse long first time out, and you know they're good for 3/4 of a mile, and then they start floundering around and they don't have that good of an experience. I would rather sprint them a couple times. It's old school, but I like that. I think it's better for the horse in the long run. I think Running Mate certainly is a contender. I would not leave him off my ticket in this race. He's fast and he's bred to get the distance. So lots to like about him. I settled on Guest Suite. Guest Suite is improving 81, 85, 88, 90 for Neil Howard, who I think is one of our sport's best trainers. He's by Quality Road out of a Ghost Zapper mare, so you know there's some tremendous pedigree there. He's won going a mile at Churchill Downs. He won an allowance race. He stakes placed. He ran third in the street sense behind McCracken, who I have up, I believe, second on my Kentucky Derby list. That's Ian Wilkes' horse, who's getting ready to run. Maybe we'll see him in the Holy Bowl. Guest Suite is a very nice horse. He's a gelding, which is unusual, especially for Will Farish, who owns Lane's End, a tremendous stud farm. But evidently, Guest Suite must have been a handful.
Yeah.
But gelding seems to be the right idea for him. He has 2 wins and 2/3 and 4 starts, and he blew out nicely for this race, 35-4, the best of 9, on January 18th at Fairgrounds. That's also old school 3 days ago. Neil Howard looks like he's got him right in the right spot. Robbie Alborado always rides him. He's back aboard. I think this horse is going to give a good account of himself if they run him and if he handles the track. And I think he's got the pedigree to handle the track. So just depends on him. But those two horses are probably the top ones. Like I told Anthony yesterday on the stakes preview show, you'd think I'd like Fat Man a little bit.
yeah, but it's P-H-A-T.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that suits me too. he's by Munnings, and Munnings is a fantastic mudsire. Munnings is by Spitestown. Stands over at Coolmore. We didn't get to talk about him this morning earlier, but Munnings has had a fantastic year and a fantastic stud career. He's a great horse, and he's also named after Sir Alfred Munnings, my favorite painter. And you know, Fat Man's an interesting horse because he sprinted, he made a nice closing run, he came back, he won by 12. That was for maiden 30. I wish somebody would have claimed him that day. That would have been a great claim. He doesn't really, you know, have the fastest ratings, but I think he's, if it's muddy, he's got a little bit of a shot at a big number, and I would maybe throw him in your try if you're looking for a big number.
All right, post time for the Grade 3 LeCompte, 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock local time there at the fairgrounds. Don't forget to get all the selections from Jude and Anthony Stabile and on our Weekend Stakes Preview show, which is now posted on our website. It's all presented by our friends at Naira Betts. You can listen at horseracingradio.net. Head on over to hrnnespanol.com here at 10 o'clock Eastern. Hablando de Ibismo, all in Spanish from 10 to 11 Eastern. And then tune into the Sunshine Millions at 5 o'clock Eastern time tonight, presented by Adina Springs. Our thanks to our special guests, Alan Sherman, Adrian Wallace, Tim Rooney, and Janine Edwards, all with us here on the program today. But a really fun show. Next week, we're live from Gulfstream. For our producer, Lee Delapina, Sean C. with social media. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Pena. Go Steelers.
Good night, Bill Mentez in Barbados.